instead of a standard Anglican three-point sermon this morning, I'd like to take us through this story, verse by verse, blow by blow. And perhaps you'd like to have this passage open in front of you if you've not found it already. Luke 24, and we're going to begin at verse 13. And quite simply read the passage and examine some of the things that it might be saying to us. I wonder how often we have spent time looking at the scripture and perhaps just examining each word or underlining particular words and trying to understand what God is saying, what it would be like if it was a different word there or a different thing being said, what the context is. It's a good discipline to learn passages of scripture and to examine them in some detail in this way. And I'd like to just take us through some of the things that which have come to me as I have spent time in this passage. So we begin in verse 13. Now on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. This is Cleopas and his friend. We don't know the name of the friend. And they were on a walking holiday, a couple of days out on a journey to Emmaus. That's about the same distance as perhaps David and Faye walking home, or Martin and Deirdre, are they here? Walking home to Stapleton from here this morning. 7 miles or so. But what were they doing? Were they out walking or walking out? They were full of the crisis, the tragedy, the distress of the last week. Their leader had been executed, and the whole movement that they'd been part of was wrecked, or so it seemed to them. So what were they doing? Were they doing a runner? Were they going home after travelling with Jesus? Was Emmaus just the first leg on the journey, and they were walking out? Or were they, more positively, out walking, recharging their batteries? Wherever they were, we don't know. Wherever they were, Jesus met them. And I don't know where you are this morning, and where you are on your Christian walk, but Jesus wants to meet us. Verse 14. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked about these tragic and desperate events of Holy Week, Jesus joined them. They were talking about what this Christianity business was all about. They were trying to understand the significance of it all. And the promise of this verse is that Jesus wants to meet with us, not just when we're praying, when we're worshipping, but also we can expect the risen Christ to meet with us when we talk to our friends about the things of God. Verse 15, 16. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Jesus came and walked with them. He walked with them. Have you walked with a child recently? And sometimes they're rushing off in front, and sometimes they're dawdling and walking along behind. Sometimes they want to be anywhere but with you. Jesus came and walked with them, alongside them. He walked down that road. He jumped over the potholes with them. He found the difficult places. He went through the valley of the trouble and the crisis. And he climbed up over the hills into the sunshine. What are you walking through at the moment? Is the road rough? Or is it just dull? Jesus walks with us. And this is the message that we have. The title of the sermon this morning I was giving was Tell the World. And something we have as good news to tell the world is that Jesus wants to walk with us. And all we have to do is invite him to come and walk at our side, to welcome him to be with us. But it says that they didn't recognize him. And this story goes right through, and the punchline at the end is that they recognize him. All the way through, they didn't know he was there. And we're talking about the physically resurrected Jesus. The Jesus that they'd lived with, that they'd known, that they'd followed, as they'd heard the wisdom and the difficult things. They must have looked and seen his face and seen the way he stood and the way he used his hands, the mannerisms, the style, the humanity of Jesus. And yet, these people didn't recognize him. They couldn't see him. And somehow, they didn't know him. And we have the promise that Jesus is with us. We can tell the world that Jesus walks with us, even if sometimes we don't see, we don't feel, we don't experience, we just don't get it, which is with us. Sometimes we have to trust our faith rather than the evidence of our own experiences. Jesus is with us, and sometimes we don't recognize him, and sometimes we expect from recognizing him. Verse 17. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. And the meaning behind this, what are you discussing together? The word is actually it's like a game of tennis. What are you tossing backwards and forwards? What are you throwing out to each other as you walk? Says one of the translators. Those kind of conversations when you just throw out what it is you're feeling and thinking. When you're not careful and cautious and considered about how you phrase what you have to say. You're comfortable with a friend and you just throw out at each other things that are on your heart and things that you're concerned about. That kind of friendship. They were obviously downcast. Their faces were full of gloom. We're not talking here about feelings, kind of lightweight religious feelings conjured up for a religious festival. We're talking about powerful, heartbreaking feelings. These people were downcast. They'd been broken. So is this. That wasn't in the script. Deceived. These people, the whole week, they had been living with the Jesus who had been taken from them. And they'd been robbed of their hope. Gutted. Broken. Full of bereavement and sadness. And it was written on their faces. It was obvious. They could see it. How do we tell the world about Jesus? The message that we have, the good news that we have of sins forgiven and the hope of glory can only be told with authenticity if we tell it as it is. People will only believe the good news that we have to share if we tell it all, the whole of our experience. We need to acknowledge the bewilderment, the confusion, the disappointment, the sadness, as well as the confidence and the hope and the faith that we have. Our Christianity is not an intellectual plaything just to entertain our thinking and our intelligence. Our faith is something which touches our hearts and our lives. Our message is not disembodied facts. It's a complete story. The story of your pilgrimage. The story of your
brand of spirituality. The story of your hopes, your moment. I was talking to a teenager yesterday who's going tonight to Burton-on-Trent, to Paul Oakley's church, to talk about an experience in prayer ministry. And she said, something happened, but I haven't got any words for it. I can't, how do I explain it? How do I tell people what God did when my eyelids were going and my hands were shaking and I felt like I was going to fall over? Something was happening inside, but I can't tell you. And that had a ring of authenticity, because it wasn't crisp and tight and orderly. It had got the kind of chaos element that rings true for me in my Christian faith, and I guess for you as well. I want to tell the world that God is real, despite my confusion, despite my unbelief, despite my struggle, that God is there and he cares. Verse 18, one of them named Cleopas asked him, are you the only one living in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened here in these days? In this verse, Cleopas gives Jesus a chance to take over the conversation. Cleopas invites Jesus to start to explain where he's been for the last week, that he hasn't seen the 6 o'clock news or picked up a newspaper, that he doesn't know what is on everybody's lips, what everybody is talking about. It would have been so natural in that conversation for the focus to shift from the news to Jesus saying his own story. That's what I would have done. So often like to pull a conversation to me rather than to anybody else. Here, Jesus is given an opportunity. You know, what's going on here? Who knows about Holy Week? Who knows what's happened in Jerusalem this past week? There's nothing that Cleopas can tell Jesus about that. Is there? Not only has he observed it, he's been in it, he's been through it, he's seen it all. Cleopas has nothing to tell Jesus. And Jesus has loads to tell Cleopas. And yet, Jesus dodges the question. He pushes the question back to Cleopas. What things have been happening? Says Jesus. Tell me more. Come on, you speak. You tell me your story. Jesus wants to hear a story before he tells a story. He wants to hear before he'll speak. I think there's a pattern here for how we tell the world. Jesus, I think, invites us to copy him. He wants us to listen and to speak. To hear a story and then tell a story. The army of Jesus Christ marches on its ears. Verse 19. What things, he asked, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. About Jesus. This is the gospel. This is what we have to tell the world. About Jesus. That's the centre of our faith. We're not communicating out there a story about the relationship of men or women. We haven't to tell a story about historic buildings. We haven't a story to tell about obscure aspects of how we live out our faith. We have a story about Jesus. Tell the world. We're simply people who are on about Jesus. And Jesus is described as powerful in both word and deed. Word and work. Have you found Jesus like that in your life? As I looked at this passage, it made me consider my own life. Am I a words Christian or a deeds Christian? Or both? And how am I living it out? Have I experienced the truth of God? For me, as words? Is it the truth of Jesus that excites and challenges me? Is it the work of Jesus? Are we both? Verse 20. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. Just want to pick up one word in there. Our. Our rulers crucified him. With the Roman occupying force, these oppressed people expected to find their leaders as their champions. And they were robbed. It was not those leaders over there, those oppressors, those alien people. It was our people, our leaders. And so often, people are hurt by those very same people who should have championed their cause, protected them, defended them. It was our leaders who had those people, who had Jesus killed. There's a particular kind of wounding here, a particular kind of bitterness, which is felt by people who've been hurt by parents who should have protected them, who have been cheated by leaders, by bosses, by those in authority whose role is to protect and defend. There's a bitterness of spirit. There's a deep wounding. And Jesus too has been kissed by that kind of betrayal. He too knows what it's like, and he walks by the side of those who would say with bitterness of spirit, it is our people. 21. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. Their faith had slipped into the past tense. We had hoped, and all their hopes were dashed. My faith in the present tense or the past tense? Jesus met these two and brought their faith up to date into the present. And again, the good news that we have to tell the world is about the history of Jesus who died and rose again. It's about the future, the promise that we shall be with him and see him face to face. But our faith is also about the present and about the way that God meets with us today. 22. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said. But him they did not see. And again we have this. The news of the resurrection had amazed them. It had alarmed them. They were bewildered. Again, they did not edit the story. But they shared with this stranger the confusing and the amazing bits, as well as the splendid and attractive bits. Verse 25. Jesus said to them, how foolish you are. If at any time you had expected them to have recognized Jesus, surely it's here, isn't it? Hasn't he said this to his followers over and over? How foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And again, we have a pairing of things here. Suffering and glory. The gospel we have to tell the world has room for suffering and glory. And again, let's make sure that we as a church and as individuals hold that balance, that there's room for suffering and for glory. That's the Jesus story. Verse 27, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explains to them what was in all the scriptures concerning himself. What a story. What a Bible study. What a sermon. We too need grounding in the scripture if we're to really appreciate who he is. It seems to me that sometimes as we go on in our Christian pilgrimage, we forget that. when the Bible begins to gather dust. Verse 28. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were to go further. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. Jesus made as if to leave. And they urged him. They constrained him. They persuaded him. They encouraged him to stay, to stay with them. And over again, we meet that in our Christian pilgrimage. That Jesus gives us an opportunity to invite him again to be close to us. The rich young ruler, "What must I do to gain eternal life?" Jesus let him walk away. I don't believe we as Christians walk out of the presence of God. But I think he offers us many opportunities to come back into intimacy, to stay close by his side. Sometimes he seems to walk on, and we're invited to urge him to stay with us. And when we do, the second half of the revelation is given. You see, they only seen part of the story. He was only a stranger until after this point, when they urged him to stay with them. And sometimes we are given an opportunity in prayer, in worship, in our own Christian journey, to invite him. "Lord Jesus, come, stay, be close to me, I welcome you, I want you to be with me." And so often, in those times, he reveals more. He gives us more of his truth that we'd have missed if we'd not done that. Verse 30. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. So often, as we break bread, God reveals himself to us. Do we expect that when we break bread here at the communion table? God will reveal himself to us. And they asked each other, "What are our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Their hearts were aglow, on fire. Lord, will you give us sermons? Will you give us Bible studies? Will you give us times of worship like that? When our hearts are on fire, when God himself opens the scripture to us. Verse 33. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. They were so excited by this experience of Jesus that they were prepared to double their journey and rush back. And maybe their sadness and their grief and their bewilderment had led them to drift away from the fellowship of believers. Maybe to some extent, they in their hearts had been walking out on the church. But this experience of God had them hot-footing it back. And what a welcoming community they found. And you notice that Cleopas was a fast learner. Because as soon as they got back with this staggering story, they listened before they spoke. They heard a story before they told a story. They heard a story that Jesus had appeared to the 11. And then they told theirs too. So in summary, the two disciples have reminded us that Jesus wants to walk with us through all the experiences of life. Through the valleys and over the hilltops. And this passage has shown us some things about how to share the good news. How to tell the world. That we're to tell the whole story. The bits we don't understand. And the bits that we're confident about. We're called to tell it all. The confusion and the confidence. The bewilderment and the belief. Let's follow in their footsteps. Amen.